this morning program for the practice of loving kindness meditation. Without enough loving kindness, the world splits apart. Thousands of anger, aversion, and hatred to have a free reign to create chaos in the world. First came to the rest. And look for places like India, Nepal. You don't see there anything. See people sleeping inside. Isn't they very happy? They have a lot of these small villages, stone huts. Because a lot of these small villages are kind of isolated and not many people there. A few old people hang around. The young people have gone to their cities to work. Here in this house, there are only one black or no, there are two people in this big city. And they hate each other. Then I said, probably if one of them dies, the other one also dies. So there's no reason for them to live anymore. Giving life becomes totally meaningless. This is true. But what happens to this world? It is mother culture. Mamma mia. When people are still quite warm, they say there's something to do with kindness. But in colder places, people become cold. Especially in Scandinavia. People can't stand each other for too long. But they have everything. Very wealthy, passionate. Today is not that. Today is warm, but more to the passionate side. Malaysia is formed like a family. The family feeling is still there. I was very surprised. Something to do with the more highly individualized society that keeps people apart. Good reason. But in the process, it has lost many things. When I was in Europe, there was this teacher, lady teacher. She said in a discussion with her, she said that in order to be loved, you need to do so many things. And in Asia, you don't need. You learn for who you are. Because you're part of the family. Then you love the different. You don't have to prove anything much. So because of the high individualism, you find that all this is being lost. Not to touch US, I mean the Taiwanese. And they are different cattle of fish. I won't come back about that. So you all know all about it. So anyway, wherever we are, we need to live with people. Even the forest is animals. As I said, Deva, There was how the Metta Sutta was twisted because of this three spirit. And you know all about the Metta Sutta. But they were disturbing the monks. So the Buddha taught them to learn chemistry. After that, instead of disturbing them, he helped them to get in our hands. I was doing it. From my experience. When I was in Malaysia, once in the early days, I was meditating under this. And one of the places in Penang I meditated was next to a huge monastery. And I was doing meditation. I was doing parts of the body. Ketabhavana, Kadantatatta, Atopa, Sarmaut, all the 32 parts. The entire body. And it was screaming. And all the trees were shaking, but there was no wind. So this is strange. And they were screaming, very loud. I was too innocent to be frightened. Maybe it's an animal. He stood around for an animal. Why are the trees shaking without any wind? And so I switched to Metta. I did loving kindness, one or two, less than 1 minute, the whole thing stopped. Completely concentrated. I said, well, let's settle this. Then I went back to take hand, body hand, hand, this game. After a while, the thing starts shaking and screaming again. I said, wow. So I went back to Metta, and after a few rounds, and it was quite easy. Wow, this was amazing, it's like pressing a button. After a few times, I said, well, if there's one living kindness, I should do living kindness. So I tried the night with living kindness. Later I found that there were some people around that didn't like me. Because they don't like Thai-mans. I identify them as a Thai-man. Now this is bad. That's why I'm sorry. Probably I should. But you know, it seems that human beings can be more vicious than this creature. Or even animals. We have known that if we so, if, for example, monks were taught to give loving kindness to snakes. Because during Buddha's time, the monks were killed by snakes. So, we are so, they are more responsive, quite responsive to the meanings of the snake. I don't think it's loving kindness to the snake. But flies and mosquitoes, no, they don't care. They are quite heartless. All out for blood. I suppose your loving kindness is strong enough to make people. For human beings, sometimes are more complicated. It's a longer time. But eventually, it should also work. I notice that people in very strong conflicts, if they do strong loving kindness, over a period of time, it also works. There was this Chinese family in Malaysia, they were bitterly quarreling over property. I think this is one of the bitter things in the society where large sums of money are involved and people even get murdered for it. There was a friend I know that was murdered. It's a long loving kindness for 1 week. So. Once it takes to go, big wind in the head. It's diagnosed as schizophrenic. Another total personality, different personality comes up. Even the body changes its form. from light speed to dark speed. It becomes like a path of peak. This is metta option.
First of all, root is nature.
And after some years of just learning kindness meditation, to do the very deep concentration, just say anything maybe. What is that she could do with us? So, I think 1 or 2 years not enough. 1 or 2 years, you give her one hour, you got some magic fix up. Why people do loving kindness? There are many reasons why one does loving kindness meditation. One thing is it helps people to overcome their anger. This occurs with angry temperaments. It may be from the last life, it may be from the present life. But anger is definitely one thing that most destructive to tranquility. Really not so bad. You meditate and you start thinking of coffee or kway teow. It doesn't disturb so much. You can go and come back after a while. Just keep this long time. But you take a little bit of anger. You know, in Malaysia, we use fang. Just getting quite hot and good. So you, some people like fan and some people don't. And so this person sitting on the meditating under the fan, he likes the fan. It's cool. But somebody decided he didn't like. Just a little bit. Whereas the person without anger, with natural loving kindness, the concentration deepens very soon. Most loving kindness when you do it, not only you put away any aversion, it also promotes joy. And when there's joy present, concentration deepens very soon. Because you're happy. Happy with what you're doing, you're happy with your object, so you stay with it. You don't like, you try to run away. Simple laws. All other good things in life will follow. All the bad things in life fall away. But your anger, the opposite. Okay. There's one sutta that says something like this. I don't know what it says. It says, when a person gets a wish, may you be very ugly. May you look worse than a pig. But whoever he or she wishes the enemy to be, he or she already looks ugly. Yeah, have you seen a person who's angry? Something long, very something. All the foul things to come out. And then secondly, your wish. May you not be able to sleep. But a person who is angry won't be able to sleep. Anger is not just means hatred of evil, it refers also to worry, it also refers to fear, it also refers to all other disturbance. You live in pain. Anger comes, the mind is in pain. And the body will also become in pain. One thing I noticed is people without anger, they meditate, usually there's a lot of pain. Pain. Physical pain is often a manifestation of mental pain. There are many stress-related illnesses. Stress is often anger. In third is when you die, you go to hell. And so if a person has a lot of anger, and he dies in anger, and in pain, and one of the suttas, the Buddha says, if he knows, that if he sees a person die with an angry mind, immediately it will go to hell. It occurs directly from the sutta. So of course, the opposite is relevant to the Vipassana. We have loving kindness, you will have a pleasant face. And then pleasant face also means pleasant health. Secondly, also you have a state of it beautifully. And thirdly, if you there's people who have a lot of loving kindness, there's not much physical illness or pain. There's a tendency to it. And when they die, they usually die peacefully. And so to a happy place. And if you have a loving kindness meditation, you go to heavenly realm. Usually when we practice loving kindness meditation, we are told to recollect the 11 blessings of loving kindness. This should be being where you intend to practice it regularly and seriously so that you can go far in the practice. I just, if I can remember, he sleeps happily, he wakes up happily, and he does not dream bad, he only dreams good dreams. Just happy mind. This refers to us, we call it a subconscious level, a deeper level of the mind. In loving kindness, there's joy, happiness, strong influence on the conscious mind. You don't go too much with it. It's loved by humans, loved by non-humans, and devas protect you. That's what we call good relationship, healthy relationship. It's very supportive. We need it in life. We need it in the practice. Then you have what his mind concentrates, isn't it? Yes. Fire, weapons and poison won't come near him. There's a kind of protection. And then when he dies, not unconfused. This is important for the next resource. And lastly, he has not reached a higher realm, he goes to the Brahma realm. That is, if he has gone into deep concentration, done. So loving kindness meditation is one of the four Brahma viharas, four divine abilities. Compassion, the others in compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity. In meditation, concentration meditation, in meditation comes under tranquility meditation, concentration. Now there are two factors involved, concentration and loving kindness. Concentration has its purpose, benefits. But since this Buddhist practice is meant to bring one out of samsara. That means use loving kindness as a base from which you can look inside and from which you get liberated. So it is the third benefit, which is it makes it more profound and meaningful. Now in loving kindness meditation, there are two types. One for deeper concentration and one for balance, good karma.
He's very happy.
We do. In the one for good karma and general practice, there are many ways of doing it. It's very flexible. But the one for deeper concentration that leads to absorption, and this it makes it very powerful, indeed be systematically. Just like you want to build a small hut, you can anybody will build it. Just take a few sticks tied up together and then do something to cover it up and then you can sleep. That's how they do it. The jungles during those times, even now they have this stick, cut some sticks. It won't last very long. But you want to build a skyscraper, buy a state building, and then you need engineering. In Malaysia, they build a twin tower. And in the center, they're supposed to have a bridge to link it up. But they think they couldn't link. So they think they couldn't. Good engineering skills, more precision, and then it goes. Now the difference is that how in the practice is that for deeper concentration, prasad practice, you need a more solid foundation of mindfulness. You have a bigger car and more horsepower, you need to have better control. You know, ride a small bicycle, it doesn't matter so much. You drop down, the most is easy. For deeper concentrations, usually I make people undergo a period of vipassana meditation. Then when you start doing loving kindness meditation, you need to recollect there. Basically, we do it, go for a retreat for 3 months. And you do loving kindness from day to night. Start doing so, loving kindness, we do it to one person. We don't do it to other person. We do it day to night with one person, until three months. Then it becomes, when it goes to absorption, it becomes very see how much time it takes on. Generally, when you do it to one person in the beginning, it brings about concentration. If you do it to many people, concentration does not develop. Do it to one person, you have to be selective. It's like learning to live with somebody for a long time. And when you try to get married, you better choose the person. Choose the wrong person. And we have advice. There are certain people you don't use. First one is the one with opposite sex. This is the case where strong lust or attachment can arise. This is. The reason is because deep concentration does not arise. Certain degree of concentration can arise, not deep. Because somehow we know that the person is not what he or she is now. And the mind cannot really figure out the form. You may think about a past perspective. So you can have some concentration, but it's not very difficult. You know what he is now, where he is now, or whatever, what form. Another person you advise how to use is the hostile. Somebody who is offended with jealousy or cheating you or whatever, you know. So the moment you think of the person, you get angry. And the next person is a repulsive person. He hasn't done any wrong, but he just don't act too wrong. He talk too much. He's fat, too thin. People don't like things. Not very logical, not very rational. People are conditioned. And the third one,
no
ceiling. There's no difference from a lamppost or a bus or something like that. Huh? If you're a bus driver, and then you're a shopkeeper or whatever, but you don't have anything in the ceiling anymore. No? So it can be done, but it's not difficult. The idea is to choose somebody who you can give loving kindness easily. They also advise not to give to somebody too intimate, too much attachment. And sometimes their own children can give, but sometimes too much attachment.
Yeah. But
the loving kindness you give should be genuine, unselfish, pure. Not the highest quality. Not too many. People don't have many of this. They don't have one very suitable one. So they choose the best they can think of. Although it may not be too much, but choose something to work on. Sometimes people have too many, but all about the same standard. So you don't know which to choose. Similarly, you can choose one, any one, so stick to it. The others can do it. And roll off. So when you have chosen a person, try to stick with the person. Then you choose this one. I think this one is better. Just like people choose this one here, here, outside, no? Finally, there's no value to it. It's a different kind of split. So once you've chosen the person, you have to allow the person. If a suitable person, the moment you think of the person, naturally, the loving kindness will be alive. If not, then you have to think to arouse the feeling, the loving kindness. You can either think of the good qualities of the person. This person is very compassionate, this person is very understanding, very precious, this person has a lot of morality. So it's good to select one, many good qualities. Or the second type of thing you can think of is to think of the how the person has helped you or made you happy. And when I was sick, you took care of me. When I was poor, you took me money. And so on, so many things. And then we meditate together, happy. The idea is to arouse the loving kindness. Once you arouse the loving kindness, then there's a kind of flow. Starting the engine. Don't think anymore. You start thinking of your life history, then there's no end of thinking. When you have the loving kindness feeling showing up, all you have to do is keep the person in mind. And you extend, sustain the flow. Usually we use four aspirations. May he or she be safe, free from danger. Be at peace, free from mental suffering. Be healthy, free from physical suffering. And then take care of oneself happily. One, and then you continue to first. Before it finishes, use the second one. Before it finishes, you use the third. In the beginning, it will be short, one after another. But when the loving kindness is more strong, you can extend it to do this sooner. One, it lasts for some time. After some time, you find that one or two may be more effective. So you can use them for a longer period of time. In the process, of course, other things come. Like when you meditate, and when you start giving to this person, somebody else comes. You're not supposed to be here. Why are we here? Anything will come, tell you. Yeah. So give loving kindness. Yeah. Otherwise, angel will come. And you switch back to the person. So it goes on. The thinking arise, you know, thinking when you come back. And you're sleepy, you fall asleep. Never mind, you breathe like Vipassana. Sleepy, you wake up and you start again. You know, just continually starting the energy, just start growing again and again. After a while, it becomes more effective. Generally, I noticed in metta retreats, by 1 week, quite a lot of people were able to maintain continuous flow of metta. They need to go in metta for 1 week. Not jhana, metta. Of the prime point where you just sit and the learning kind of keeps flowing. And then so all you have to do is to make sure once in a while the person is there. Because after a while you keep learning kindness, you seem to have learning kindness, especially when joy rises. And then you don't seem to be anybody there. So you have to make sure the person is there. Then the concentration starts deepening. Then, okay, you go to walking. Walking also you do in learning kindness. If your mind is too disturbed, then you do mindfulness, vipassana mind, you balance your mind. It's one thing, it's something that you meditate your mind. No more learning kindness, especially long with you. Learning kindness, then 1 in 9, 1 in 5, after that you get dry. Like sneezing and water comes up. So then the mind gets disturbed. So you go back to mindfulness, because the mind, to bring out the mindfulness to balance yourself. When the mind is balanced, it can't be. So similarly, when you get up, you do walking. When you do walking, you also do learning kindness for the future. But in this case, you don't pay attention to the future. You just walk slowly, you stand and do loving kindness. You stand and think of the person. The way is tracked, you allow the loving kindness to make the wishes, to take a continuous flow. And once you know the flow is there, you start walking. You just walk, slowly. So you know the walk is very slow. So you don't pay attention to the thing. So you pay attention to the thing, you start to walk. Because these people who practice in Vipassana, when they walk, they will make automatically. It's okay, you let them be. And just remember to keep the flow of loving kindness. And if there's no more loving kindness, you stop, you stand, and start thinking of the person's quality today. Just start the flow of loving kindness. And if the loving kindness flows, you can make the wish to start with you. So in this way, the whole of the hour or half an hour, you'll be walking in loving kindness. And then when you come to sit, and then continue. You can maintain the continuity of loving kindness to one person to concentrate in different ways. Because in the next sitting, when you do the guided meditation, and you do it to ourselves, you do it to the other person, then after that, when I leave you to do it in your own, you do some recitation. To continue with the flow, and just before we get up, we do loving kindness for the whole group and for all the last 5 to 10 minutes. In daily life, generally, you do up the level to a certain concentration, then you can do it to all the people, or to other people who you like. But for concentration, you do it a lot. In daily life, you may do to one person. Every day, you can do to another. Especially when you go for intensive meditation, and you want to go with deep absorption, you can do to one person for a long time. And then relax, bring your mindfulness to the body, and then you start thinking of the thing. So the loving kindness keeps on coming. Then you start walking. There's no more loving kindness than it's coming here.